This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Welcome everyone, Baruch Ma'abon. Thank you everyone for coming. We'd like to welcome all of our Torah Anytime viewers. This evening's shiur is being sponsored by a number of mishpachos. First, Mishpacha Sha'ulav, Reb Rachamim Sha'ulav and his wife, and also by their mother, Mrs. Sha'ulav, and also by the Fatakov Mishpacha, and also by Moshe and Arsen Zavlyanov. It's Le'ilei Nishmas, their mother and grandmother, Leah Liba Bas Bitya. Her neshama should have an aliyah, and she should be a melitza yeshar for the entire mishpacha, for all the various mishpachos, for simchas and nachas, parnasa berevach, v'imal Hashem kol mishalos libehem l'toiva, and it should be le'ilei nishmasa b'gan eden teim nuchasa ad b'yasko el tzedek. Okay, we have a very interesting topic this evening. And before we begin to look at the parsha, we'll jump right into the discussion. Somebody comes to Rav Meir Arik. Rav Meir Arik was one of the Gedolei HaPoskim in the mid-1800s, and he has the following question. He's 30 years old, he's converting, and unfortunately he did not live in the Western world, so he was not circumcised as a child. And now this 30-year-old man is coming to have his bris milah, and he wants to know, can he use anesthesia? Well, not exactly. That's not exactly what they had then. They had something called a sam. It's some kind of cream. And the cream would numb that area. And the question is it permitted, was it permitted for him to use this anesthetic cream in order for him not to feel any pain during the process of the bris milah? In other words, does it have to hurt? Right? Is that an essential part of the bris milah? Does it have to hurt? So, the Rav Meir Arik, in his classic volumes of Shas Tshuvos, the Imre Yosher, the Imre Yosher starts off in the following way. He wants to say, anesthesia? Who ever heard of using anesthesia for bris milah? I mean, did anyone here ever go to the bris of any from person and they used anesthesia? And he says even furthermore, look throughout Shas. Did they you ever find anywhere in the Gemara and Shabbos, Rabbi Elazar de Mila, where you find a story about someone had a circumcision and the Amoraim recommended, you know what? We recommend a certain kind of cream. You know, get Johnson's and Johnson's Mila cream. That will really help the situation. You ever find such a thing? Nah. Nobody ever heard in the time. Right? You don't find anywhere in the Gemara. So since we don't have a precedent for such a thing, what, we're going to invent a new way to do Mila? So Imre Yosher says, of course you're not going to find this in the Gemara. Because you think in the times of the Gemara, they had anesthetic cream? Yeah, if they would have had anesthetic cream in the times of the Gemara, then they probably would have used it. But they didn't have it. Says Rav Meir Arik, it's not true. They did have anesthetic cream in the time of the Gemara. Not only did they have anesthetic cream, they had even better than anesthetic cream. How do we know? So Rav Meir Arik cites the Gemara in Bava Kama that you have on your sheets. And the Gemara is talking about, if, let's say, somebody goes over to their friend and they cut off their arm, chas v'shalom. Yeah, they cut off their arm. So now you got to pay the guy back for his arm. You got to pay him for his loss of an arm. And you got to pay him for the pain that he suffered because he cut off his arm. So the Gemara is very troubled. How do you distinguish between paying the damage for the loss of the arm and paying the pain the person suffered? I mean, how do you determine how much pain is suffered when you chop off someone's arm? Says the Gemara, very simple. Tell the guy you have two choices. We're going to chop off your arm either way. Either we could use an old rusty saw, or we could use a sam. What's a sam? Says Rashi, they had a certain kind of acid or dye or cream that froze off the limb and just sliced it without any pain. And that's, so if the guy would say, well, I would pay you $10,000 more to chop off my arm with this sam, rather than having it chopped off with a rusty saw, then we could evaluate. That's a very accurate way of determining how much money a person would pay to avoid that tsar. So says Rav Meir Arik, what do we see from this Gemara? That in the times of the Amoraim, they had these type of pharmaceutical products. Yeah? I don't know if today, you know, in the various pharmacies in the Mishpacha, right, if they have these products. But they had a sam that could slice off a limb. So says Rav Meir Arik, if they had a sam that could slice off a limb without any pain, they certainly had a sam that could numb a limb so that you could cut it off with a knife. And if that's the case, that they had this type of product, and yet we don't find anywhere in Shas that during a bris milah, to avoid the baby screaming his head off, they said, you know what, just apply this sam, it must be this was not done. Loi ra'inu zeh. You know what loi ra'inu means? We never saw such a thing. And if we never saw such a thing, and we have no precedent for it, then in Judaism, we don't like to change, right? We're against change, unless we need to. So since we have no precedent for using this type of product, so therefore it must be, that they had something fundamentally against using this type of product, right? They had it. They had anesthetic cream. So why didn't they use it? It must be, what do we see from here? Mila must hurt. Mila must hurt. And if it doesn't hurt, if there's no pain, there's no gain. Because they had the anesthesia. It's not like they didn't have it. They had it available. You could get it, right, in any of your better pharmacies. You could buy anesthetic Mila cream. So why didn't they use it? It must be, it needs to hurt. It must be, it needs to hurt. But says the Imre Yosher, I'll bring you an even better proof that Mila has to hurt. What's the proof? What's the proof? We have a medrash. The medrash is on this week's parsha. The pasuk says about the milah of Avraham Avinu. It says, "Be'etzem hayoyim hazeh," on this very day, "Nimol Avraham." Avraham was circumcised. Says the medrash. Look at number 4. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, Hirgish Vinitztayer. He felt it. He was in pain. Why? Kedei sheyichbal loy Hakadosh Baruch Hu scharay. So God should give him extra reward. So you hear, right? What's the very first Mila in history? Avraham Avinu. That's the paradigm of the way Mila is supposed to be. And yet, in the Medrash tells us, the Mila of Avraham, it hurt. Why? To be able to give Avraham more reward. Then the Medrash says, no, that's not what it means. The word Nemo means that one day Avraham woke up in the morning, and he checked, and he was already circumcised. He doesn't know how, he doesn't know when, he doesn't know where. That's what it means, Nimal. Says Rabbi Abba to Rabbi Levi, who said that Avram woke up in the morning, already circumcised, he says to him, you're a liar? That's a fabrication, that's not what happened. Why does it say Nimal? To teach you that Avraham felt it, and he was in pain. How do we know from the pasuk that Avraham was in pain? Because it doesn't say Nimal, right? The pasuk doesn't say Nemo Bisar Avraham. It doesn't say his flesh was circumcised. It says Avraham was circumcised. What do you mean Avraham? That means his whole being, his whole body felt it. Why is that? Sometimes when a person, you know, you have a headache, feels like, you know, your whole body hurts. So the pasuk is saying Avraham was circumcised. His whole essence felt it. So says the Rameir Arik, if the Medrash is pointing out to us that the very first circumcision in history, it hurt, that is the model of how Mila should be. And if Mila doesn't hurt, that means it was not done properly. Okay? So we have two proofs that Mila has to hurt. Number one, the fact that we have never seen at any Orthodox from Bris anyone of reputable standing using anesthesia. So you'll say, what kind of proof is that? Since when is Loi Ra'inu Araya? Says Rameir Arik, in this situation, if you go around to all of the circumcisions in the Jewish world and you never saw such a thing, that's a proof it should not be done. And added to that is the fact that by the Mila of Avraham, the Medrash points out that it hurt him. And if it hurt Avraham, and that's the paradigm of the way Mila should be, then if it doesn't hurt, it's not a full-fledged Mila. Who says Avram was Noed Mal? No. Noyach was Noed Mal because it says Ish Tamim. Avram, it says Veheyei Tamim. You should become Tamim. Okay. That's what the Medr says. Comes along the Eretz Tzvi. Okay, who's the Eretz Tzvi? The Eretz Tzvi was Rav Tzvi Frumer. Who's Rav Tzvi Frumer? The Goyin from Kozhaglov. Say what, right? Who's that? The Eretz Tzvi was born in 1884. He was a student of the Avnei Nezer. And in 1914, when the Avnei Nezer passed away, the Eretz Tzvi got a letter from the son of the Avnei Nezer, the Shem Yishmuel, because there was a large yeshiva in the city of Sochachov that did not have a Rosh Yeshiva now. And the Shem Yishmuel invited the Eretz Tzvi to become the Rosh Yeshiva in Sochachov in 1914. That's what happened when the Avnei Nezer died. He led the yeshiva in Sochachov until the yeshiva burnt down in World War I. Okay. After Rav Meir Shapiro passed away, Rav Meir Shapiro's yard site was 2 days ago, the Eretz Tzvi was invited to be the last Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin. So the Eretz Tzvi says that none of these proofs that Rav Meir Arik brought have any substance. They're not proofs at all. What's the first proof? The first proof is because the Medrash says that the Mila of Avraham hurt. That's a proof. Why does the Medrash tell us it hurts? Says the Medrash, Hashem made it hurt to double the reward. In other words, the Medrash doesn't say it hurt in order for it to be a valid circumcision. The Medrash said it hurt to give more reward, which is a clear proof, just the opposite. Adarabba, right? Ibcham, just the opposite. If anything, the Medrash proves that it doesn't have to hurt, because the Medrash says it hurt Avraham to get more reward, which implies if it would not have hurt, he would have still got the mitzvah, his reward would not have been as great. So if anything, says the Eretz Tzvi, it's a clear proof, Mila does not have to hurt. But what about the proof that the Imre Yosher brought that we never saw at a reputable bris of somebody of who cares about the halacha? We never saw anybody use anesthesia? You know why? Because if you have a kid, this is his very first mitzvah that he's doing in his life. Don't you think we want to do it in the best possible way, that he should reap the greatest amount of reward? And that is why, at every reputable bris, we don't use the anesthesia. We don't want to minimize the value of the reward of the mitzvah. So the fact that we've never seen such a thing is not a proof that you're not allowed to use it. All it shows is that if you use anesthesia, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah in the best possible way. He has the bris mila. We'll see about that. We see from here that the only reason you don't see such a thing is because we don't want to do the mitzvah in a secondary type of way. But like we find, the Ran says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that the very first time Klal Yisrael brought the Omer in the Midbar, we can't say it was brought betuma. Why? Betuma is hutra betzibur. It's permitted to bring a betuma. The first time you do a mitzvah, you can't cut any corners. Right? No pun intended. The first time you do a mitzvah, you got to do it right. But if you have someone who's 30 years old, this ain't the first mitzvah he's doing. He's probably already answered amen. He's answered amen yehishmei rabbah. He's done other mitzvahs, so it's not his first mitzvah. So there's no problem whatsoever to allow this individual to use local anesthesia. Yeah?
Two things. Number one, isn't some of the biblical figures mentioned that they were born circumcised?
No, it doesn't mention about anyone in the entire Tanakh that they're born circumcised.
Okay, and second, if I'm not mistaken, Avraham Avinu was circumcised on Yom Kippur.
Correct.
And normally you don't have a circumcision on Yom Kippur unless the baby is exactly 8 days old.
Correct. That's why it says Nimalu Itai. The Medrash says God helped him out, so it was Shnaim Sha'asu Ka'achas, so he's not Chayev for that. Okay, but that's an interesting point. But says the Eretz Tzvi. Yeah, well, Avraham Avinu, we don't know that he had anesthesia. So, you know, he's at a. But the fact that the Medrash mentions that it hurts, the Eretz Tzvi says that one may think that's a critical component of the Bris Milah. So the Eretz Tzvi says no. Avraham Avinu, you don't see it's necessary. All you see is it magnifies the reward. And the fact that we never see such a thing, that's because when a kid is born and it's his first mitzvah, we do it right. But for someone who's much older, there's no halachic imperative to say you have to. It would be prohibited to use anesthesia. Now listen to this. Ready for this? A little lumdus. Says the Eretz Tzvi, I'm going to tell you a reason now why you never saw anesthesia used by the bris of a kid for halachic reasons. Why it would be halachically prohibited to use anesthesia on a kid, and yet it would be permitted to use it on an adult. And that's the following. What's the hell? Imagine you're sleeping at night, right? And it's Alois HaShachar. Now it's already Neitz HaChama. And, you know, you're the kind of guy in your bed, you toss and turn a lot, yeah? And you have your talus bag right next to your bed. So while you're tossing and turning, you know, you zip open the talus bag. And with another turn, all of a sudden, the talus bag is open. And another turn, all of a sudden, it's on your arm. And, you know, before you know it, you wake up, you're wearing the talus, the tefillin. You get the mitzvah?
No.
What if, you know, in the middle of your sleep, you know, you took the, you know, you're sleeping there, you took the lulav and esrog. You get the mitzvah? No. Why not?
Involuntary.
You know, tavana. It's misasik. Misasik means you had no awareness, you're doing the mitzvah. Yeah? So I have a question for you. How in the world are you able to circumcise a child? The child has absolutely no awareness that he's fulfilling a mitzvah. So isn't it misasik? It's like somebody who does a mitzvah in his sleep. How could you perform circumcision on a baby? The baby's misasik. The baby has no awareness the mitzvah is being done. Says the Eretz Tzvi, listen to this. What if somebody takes your hand, puts a lulav and esrog in, you know, the lulav in the right hand, the esrog in the left hand, he shakes your hand and put it down, and you don't even know what happened to you. You get a mitzvah? No. No mitzvah, you didn't do anything. It's also misasik. What if someone takes matzah, he pries open your mouth, you're tied up, he stuffs matzah down the funnel, and you swallow it. Do you get the mitzvah? Yeah. You know why? Because your body had hana from the mitzvah. Shekein nene. The Gemara says, if you get hana from a mitzvah, even though you had no awareness that it was happening, it's not misasik. That is tantamount to kavana. If you're nene, if you have hana from a mitzvah, that's considered awareness. Says the Chassam Sofer, one of the most incredible chedushim you'll ever hear. Here's a guy. He takes an oath. He takes a shvua that he's going to drink water every single day. And the first day passes, he doesn't drink water. The second day passes, he doesn't drink water. The third day passes, he doesn't drink water. So he violated his shvua. Did he violate it actively or passively? Right? He sat back, he didn't drink water. Is that a lav sheyesh by masa? Did he actively violate the shvua? Or is it a lav she'ein by maisa? Or did he passively violate the shvua?
Ein by maisa.
We would say ein by maisa. Says the Chassam Sofer, no. You know, why? Because he had sar from not drinking it. And the same way, if you have hana, pleasure from something, it's considered an act. If you have tsar from not doing something, even though you have not acted at all, it's completely passive, that is also an act. Because says the Chassam Sofer, shnei hafachim echarhu. Two opposites are really one. If hana, if pleasure is tantamount to an act, then tsar, pain, is also like an act. So if somebody says, I swear I'm going to eat today, and they don't eat, they get malchus. Why? Because they actively violated the Torah. Because since they had pain, that's considered actively violating the Torah. Says the Eretz Tzvi, listen to this. You know how you could do mila on a child, even though he's completely unaware that it's happening? But it's misasik, he has no awareness. You know what the answer is? Because it hurts. And when you have tsar, tsar is tantamount to awareness, according to the Chassam Sofer. The reason how you could circumcise a baby, even though he has no awareness, is because of the principle of the Chassam Sofer, that when it hurts, you don't have to be aware. Your organism senses it more than that. That's the great Ein Lecha awareness, Gedolah Mizu. If your body is having a sensation, whether it's positive or whether it's negative, that physical sensation is tantamount to awareness in halacha. And since it hurts the baby, it's not misasik. That's considered awareness. Says the Eretz Tzvi, if you're going to anesthetize the child and he's not going to feel it, he never had a mila. He never had a mila because he didn't feel it and he has no awareness. But an adult, why would an adult have to feel it? He has real awareness. He's aware that it's happening to him. So even if he doesn't feel it, even though it doesn't hurt, but if you locally anesthetize the child, says the Eretz Tzvi, the fact that he knows it's happening to him, that's not a misasik. He has real awareness. But for a child, halachically, you should not be able to anesthetize the child. That's a big chiddush of the Eretz Tzvi. Okay, that's an awesome chiddush. In the end result, says the Eretz Tzvi, I agree to the Imre Yosher that if a kid comes on his eighth day, don't use anesthesia. If a guy comes, he's 30 years old, still don't use even local anesthesia. You know when you could use it? You have someone, if the first two kids died because of circumcision, and you're not really sure whether to do Mila on the third, and you suspect the reason why the first two kids died is because it really hurt, that in that limited circumstance, you're allowed to anesthetize the child. But again, the Eretz Tzvi says we should uphold the chumrah of what he calls the Rav Miterna. That's the Imre Yosha. What?
Halacha says you're allowed not to do Brit Mila.
Not only that, the halacha says you're not allowed to do Brit Mila, but he's talking about where there are other factors in play, why perhaps the child is healthier, and he has other factors, why besides using the anesthesia it would be permitted. Okay, that's a good point. Okay, let's see further. Okay, today we're going to look at Sfarim that are tongue twisters. Okay, we had already the Kasha Glover, right? Now we have the Sefer called Aparkasasa de Aniya. Okay? Say that 10 times, right? Fast. So, says the Aparkasasa de Aniya, I'm going to bring a proof. You're allowed to use anesthesia. What's the proof? Here you have a guy, he desecrated Shabbos, right? He said, they warned him, don't turn on the light. He turns on the light. So what do we do to him? We take him to a building, and we throw him off the building, and then we stone him. Right? That's what we do. That's it. After that, he's okay. Yeah? We don't do that anymore, but that's in the times of the Gemara, that's what they did. Says the Gemara, if you have a guy you're about to give capital punishment to, you know what you should do? Look at number 7. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Mem Gimel says, give him a cup of wine with a little crumb of levina, frankincense. Right? That'll look, just to say that word, it will scare the guy, right? You give him a cup of wine. Why? It will dull his senses, so when you kill him, he won't really feel it. So says the Afar Kasasa, the Aniya, well, wait a second. Here you have a guy, you're trying to punish him. You're trying to give him kapara, atonement. And yet the Gemara says, give him some kind of concoction to make him not feel the pain. What do you mean not feel the pain? We want him to feel the pain. We want him to get atonement. So what do we see from here? That even where the Torah says you got to do something, do it! But you don't have to make somebody suffer. As much as you can minimize the suffering of a Jew, you should do so. So too, by Bris Mila, you're right, the Torah says you got to circumcise. But if we can minimize the pain of the child, maybe we should do so. So he then says, no, it's not a proof. It's not a proof. You know why? Because when you give capital punishment to someone, what gives the person kapara, atonement? It's not the pain. It's the misa, it's the death. The pain is just the way he gets there. But if you could get to that result of misa, of death, without him feeling pain, gesundheit, what do you have to make the guy suffer for? He's going to die anyway. But by bris mila, says Afrakasasadaniya, the way bris mila is done traditionally is, it hurts. That's the traditional way the mila is done. How do we know that? So he quotes the Gemara, and this Gemara is also brought as a proof from the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Shmuel Vazner in Bnei Brak. He says the proof is, there's a pasuk that says in Tehillim, Ki Alecha Hayragnu Kol Hayom, God, we give our life for you every day. What's that talking about? Says the Gemara, Bris Mila. So says the Shevet HaLevi, don't you see from this Gemara that Bris Mila is completely connected to danger and pain and suffering? I mean, that's what the Gemara says. When we tell God, God, we sacrifice our life to you every day, that's talking about Bris Mila. So apparently part of the tsura of Bris Mila is, it's not pleasant.
What's every day?
Every day there's a kid, right, getting circumcised. Right?
Yeah. We sacrifice our life to you every
yeah.
day.
Yeah, go to Williamsburg, go to Bar Park, every day you'll find a Mila, right?
Each individual every day, not collectively.
It means collectively. The Jewish people, God, the Jewish people every day. So what do we see from here? That Bris Mila is intertwined with pain. So says the Shevet HaLevi, don't use local anesthesia. Because that's not the way Mila is done. So says the Shevet HaLevi, where does it come from that Mila has to hurt? So he says, it must be, if you take a look at number 10, there's a Shas HaTshuva, Shevet HaLevi, Chela, Ke, Simon, Kuf, Mem, Zayin, the end of the first paragraph, Upshita, it's obvious, Dekach, Tsuras, HaMitzvah, HaMekoris, Nisinai. It must be, this is the form of the mitzvah that God gave Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. We have to say that if the Gemara tells us milah is something that we risk our life for every day, that must mean when God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, He said, this is the way milah should look. It should hurt. That's what you have to conclude, says the Shevet HaLevi. So the Shevet HaLevi says, I'm not saying, if you have a guy, he gives a few examples, a guy who comes to convert, he's 60 years old, you know? So have Rachmanis on the guy. We'll let him use the milah cream. Or you have someone, he's fat, and the mayor says, this will take me 17 minutes. Yeah? So, that guy, we'll let him use the anesthesia. Or let's say the mayor says, this is a big job. Okay. In all extenuating circumstances, you could use the anesthetic. But in a normal, regular case, don't use even local anesthesia. So far we have the opinion of Rav Meir Arek. At the Emei Yosh, we have the opinion of the Aretz Tzvi. We have the opinion of the Shevet HaLevi. And now we come to an interesting sefer, the Shas, which is Mar Chelev. Mar Chelev says, I'll bring you another proof Mila has to hurt. What's the halacha if you have someone who's coming to convert, and he was born already circumcised? There's such a phenomena. Someone who's Nolad Moho, right? Like you said, there are people in Tanakh that may have been Nolad Moho. According to the Medrash, they may have been Nolad Moho. Let's say you have a guy, he's born circumcised. Now he wants to come to convert. How do we convert him? Do we say, oh, you already did that part, all you have to do is dunk in the mikvah? No. He has to do Hatafas Dam Bris. What do we have to do? We have to draw a little bit of blood. We don't have to actually cut anything. We just draw a little bit of blood. Says the Ramban, what do we need to draw blood for? Says the Ramban, why you have to draw blood? Because even though he's already circumcised, but we need to make him enter the covenant of Avraham Avinu, of the Jewish people. So by drawing a little blood, that will allow him to enter into the covenant of the Jewish people. Says the Marchelev, excuse me, Ramban, I have a better reason why you need to draw the blood. Because Mila has to hurt. And this guy, he was born circumcised. He was born already Gemalot. But he didn't suffer pain. And if suffering pain is an essential part of the Mila, so why didn't the Ramban say that someone who's already born circumcised, you know why you got to draw some blood? Because there's one thing you're missing, and that's the pain. It must be pain is not necessary. However, halacha lemaisa, says the Mar Chelev, in Judaism, we don't do things differently. If we never used it, we will continue not to use it. Unless you have extenuating circumstances. The Sri Deyesh, remember last week we quoted from the Sri Deyesh, Rabbi Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg? Rabbi Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg also says that he's, on the one hand, the Mar Chelev seems to say, Meikar Hadin, according to the letter of law, doesn't have to hurt. On the other hand, Rav Meir Arek says it has to hurt. He said, if it were up to me, if I would weigh out, what do I value more? The chumrah of Rav Meir Arek, that it has to hurt, or the kula of the Mar Chelev, it doesn't have to hurt? In his book, the chumrah of the Imre Yosha of the Rav Meir Arek weighs a lot more. And therefore he says, don't use it. Better not to use it. Okay, so far we have a lot of achroinim. Rav Meir Arek, the Shevet HaLevi, the Mar Chelev, the Sri Deyesh, they all say, don't use local anesthesia. It should hurt. At least in the ideal Mila, it should hurt. And that is the conclusion of the Tzitz Eliezer. Let's see, you have any? She's number 13. Tzitz Eliezer said, somebody asked him, does Mila have to hurt? Are you allowed to use anesthesia? He said, what do you want from my life? Rav Meir Arek already said it has to hurt. And the Eretz Tzvi said it should hurt. And the Mar Chelev said it should hurt. And the Sri Deyesh said it should hurt. So then, who am I to go against them? Yeah.
There are two components to it. It hurts while it's happening, and it also hurts after. Right,
now we're talking about B'Shas Maisa, while it's happening. While it's happening. Again, the Eretz Tzvi said it has to hurt while it's happening, because since the baby's not aware, you need pain to create the awareness. Okay. We're going to put this issue aside for a few moments, the issue of local anesthesia. Now let's talk about general anesthesia. Okay? Local anesthesia, we have not really found really a fundamental reason why you can't use it. We just said, that's not the way it's done. What about general anesthesia? You have somebody, they're, You have a kid. Kid's already 5 years old. The mother says, look, I don't want my kid to have a circumcision. But, you know, you rabbis, you're pressuring me. Fine. But I'll only allow it if you give my kid general anesthesia. That's the only way I'll allow it. So now we have a choice. Either let the kid be an RL for the rest of his life. He's going to be completely uncircumcised for the rest of his life. Or, you know, we give in a little bit. We allow anesthesia. Or let's say you have a guy, he's 60 years old. There's no way he's going to survive a regular mila. He needs general anesthesia. Is there any halachic problem with giving general anesthesia? So listen to this. This is amazing. Okay, you ready? Yeah, you sure? General anesthesia. Says the Sefer Kairos HaBris. Now, if you do a mila when someone is under the influence of general anesthesia, it's nothing. It's not a mila.
About the pain afterward. Is that count?
No. Regarding the first issue?
Healing is painful.
Yeah, healing, yeah. But regarding the first issue, they say you need to feel it b'shas ma'isa. Regarding general anesthesia, says the Kairos HaBris, if you put someone under the influence of general anesthesia and you do the mila, it's nothing. You know why? Because we paskin mitzvos, tzrichos, kavana. Someone comes to Shul on Rosh Hashanah, and they hear the sound of the shofar, and their kavana is, you know what? This sounds like, you know, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. I love it. I love it. Are they yotzi the mitzvah?
No.
Why? Because it's not enough to do the mitzvah. You have to have in mind that you're doing the mitzvah. So you tell me, somebody who's under general anesthesia, does he have any awareness or knowledge at all at the time of the mitzvah that he's doing a mitzvah? None whatsoever. So says the Kairos HaBris, if you're under the influence of general anesthesia and the bris is done, take two. Got to do it again. Right? Or, you know, you'll have to have a hatafas dam bris. Okay. Says Rabbi Vadi Yosef in the Sefer Yabi Omer, this is very logical. Because here, he brings a proof. Let's say you have a guy, we know there's a mitzvah of Yibam. What's Yibam? You have a brother, he dies without children. So what happens to the wife? His brother is required to marry the wife of the deceased. Right? The mitzvah of Yibam. Now for Yibam, you can't do shtar. You can't do kesef. What do you have to do? Bia. Relations. That's the only way to acquire a yevama. The only way to do the mitzvah of Yibam, nowadays when we get married, we don't marry with bia. We get married with kesef. You give a ring. But Yibam, the mitzvah of Yibam, you only have the option of bia. What happens if a person did bia to the yevama when they were sleeping? The person was asleep. He was out cold. Is that a valid mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah at all. He's not kone. It's not effective. You know why? Says the Gemara, because when you're sleeping, you can't have kavanah. So says Ravadi Yosef, you see from this Gemara, that when a person is asleep, it is not possible to have kavanah. It's not possible to have any thought to do a mitzvah. So too, he says, if someone is under the influence of anesthesia, right, they're definitely out cold, they're sleeping, they can't do the mitzvah of mila. So here you have a guy, he's 50 years old, he's under anesthesia, the mayo comes in, he does the mila, the guy doesn't get a mitzvah because he had no knowledge and awareness.
What about beforehand? He says the Shem Yichud. He knows he's
about to... Why do you say the Shem Yichud?
He knows beforehand.
The Noi says you know how to say the Shem Yichud. What? What? And then he did the anesthesia? Wait, in the next second? Okay. So very good. So then Rav Avadi Yosef says, no, this is not a good analogy. The fact that you can't do the mitzvah of Yibam while you're asleep should not in any way indicate you can't do the mitzvah of Mila when you're sleeping. You know why? Because here the Mayal is acting as your agent. What's the halacha? You go over to someone and you say, I want you to be my shliach to give a get, to give a document of divorce to my wife. And you send him off. And meanwhile, at the time he gives the get, the person is sleeping. Is that an effective get? That an effective? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why? But he's acting on behalf of someone who's asleep.
But when the appointment happened when he was awake.
Because a person who's sleeping, the person who's acting on his behalf has kavana for him. The person who's doing the maisa, the person who's giving the get, has kavana for the person who's sleeping. But what's the halacha if somebody says to a shliach, give a get to my wife, and in the interim, the person becomes a meshugana, he becomes a shaita, he becomes insane. Could the shliach act on his behalf? No. But could he be act on the behalf of someone who's sleeping? Yes. What's the difference? Because when you're sleeping, you wake up on your own, the Gemara says. Ain sarach maisa. You don't need an act to wake you up. You wake up on your own. And therefore, the fact that the shliach is acting on your behalf, he is able to supply the das for you, so that since anyway, you're not completely out of it, you're just sleeping. You'll wake up on your own. Therefore, his das could help for you. Says Rabbi Avadi Yosef, the same thing by Mila. Someone who's under the influence of anesthesia, to wake him up, what do you have to do? You have to, you know, take a bat and clobber him over the head? No. In an hour or so, it will wear off. He'll wake up on his own. So the Moel, who has Kavana, is able to supply Kavana for the person who's having the Mila. And therefore, just because you can't do the mitzvah of Yibam while you're asleep, that's because you yourself have to do the Bia. You can't tell a shliach, you know what? Do it for me. Of course that doesn't work. But when it comes to Mila, where you could tell a Mayel, you could appoint a Mayel, Mayel, dear Mayel, you're my shliach to circumcise me. So even though you're asleep, you wake up on your own. It's effective, says Rabbi Avadi Yosef. However, Rabbi Avadi takes it further. And he says like this. This is very interesting. What does a Mayel do? What's his job? Is a Mayel your shliach? So, the Shach in Yeridea says, a Mayel is acting as your shliach. But the Ktzais HaChoshen...
Because you're not allowed to hurt yourself.
No, but for this you can.
You are
you're correct.
The shliach.
You're correct. You can't hurt yourself, but for... And that's some of Farshim Tzai, that's why Avraham Avinu didn't do Mila until God commanded him explicitly. But for Mila, you're allowed to. You're allowed to be your own Mayel. The Shach says the Mayel is your shliach, and in that case, he supplies the das, the kavana, the intent for you. The Ketzois HaChoshen. You ever hear the Ketzois HaChoshen? So it's one of the greatest svarim of lamdas. Okay? One of the greatest svarim of complicated halachic discussion. Listen to what he says. He says, no. A Mayel is not your shliach. Could you make a shliach to shake a lulav of an esrog for you? Let's say you say to your friend, you know what? I'm not in the mood of getting up today. So you know what? First put on tefillin for yourself, and then have me in mind. Sounds good, right? You'll be able to sleep for 2 weeks straight, and the other guy, you'll pay him. He'll put on tefillin for you. He'll sit in the sukkah for you. I don't want to keep Shabbos this week. What, could you do it for me? Could you appoint a shliach to do these kind of mitzvahs for you? No, because it's what's called mitzvah shebegufa. Your body has to do it. You can't appoint a shliach. Says the Ketzos HaChoshen, you can't have a guy do mila for you. The mayel is not your shliach. Your mayel is just your tool. So if the mayel is just your tool, so if you're under anesthesia and the mayel is not your shliach, where is the kavana coming from? Listen to this. Says Rabbi Avadi Yosef, you don't need any kavana for mila. You don't have to think anything. You don't have to be aware. You don't need anything. Why? Okay, this is a very amazing gemara. The gemara says, David HaMelech, one day, he woke up in the morning, he was very happy with himself. Why? He was wearing his talis, he was wearing his tefillin, he sees a mezuzah on the door, he felt very spiritual, very holy. Then he goes, he went to take a shower into the bathhouse. Oh, no talis, no tefillin, no mezuzah. Oy, I'm empty and bare of mitzvahs. And then he realized he has a mila, thank God. And he was happy again. That's what the Gemara Menachas tells us, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. So asks the Rach Ar Zarua. He said, wait a second. Why was David HaMelech happy? This is quote number 18. Why was David HaMelech happy? Because he had a bris milah? The Mayel did the bris milah on him 70 years ago. That's what he was happy about, that he had a milah? That happened 70 years ago. Why wasn't he happy? He put on tefillin that morning. He put on talis that morning when he walked out of the door. 10 minutes ago, he had mezuzah. So what does David HaMelech think? Oh, he has a milah. That was done 70 years ago. What do you see from here? It says the Rach Ar Zarua. The mitzvah of Mila is not the act of circumcision. The mitzvah of Mila is to be circumcised. To have a circumcision. The mitzvah of Mila is not the act, it's to have the result.
You get a separate mitzvah every day?
Every day you have the Mila, you get a mitzvah. So says Rav Avadi Yosef, if the mitzvah of Mila is not the act, if the mitzvah was the act, So you need to have kavana at that time. But if the mitzvah is not that, if the mitzvah is to be circumcised, so as soon as you wake up from the anesthesia and you are circumcised, you're good to go. You don't have to have any kavana. You don't have to have any awareness. If the mitzvah is the action itself, so you have to have awareness at the time of the action. You have to know it's being done. But if the mitzvah is not the act, the mitzvah is the result of the act, you don't have to have any kavana. And the Marsham says the same thing. And therefore, Avad Yosef Paskins, halacha l'maisa, no knowledge is necessary, no awareness is necessary, no pain is necessary. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, Avad Yosef says, you could use general anesthesia, you could use local anesthesia. Mila doesn't have to hurt.
Only for the oldest or for the young as well?
So, I don't know. Ashkenazim like pain, right? But the Rav Avadya Yosef says, Mila does not have to hurt.
So the person could be drunk also.
Yeah, you could be drunk, anesthesia, all of the above. A shaita, a mashugina, all of that. A cordycus, everything. You don't have to have any...
I was going to ask before because maybe...
You could drink the wine with the frankincense. You could add... By the way, it's very interesting. If you look about... If you look in the Mar Chelev's version of anesthesia, look at number 11. See on the fourth line? He says, could you drink a sam? Kamoi, kuf ayin kuf aleph aleph yud nun.
Cocaine.
Yeah, what's that?
Cocaine.
You see that? Kufa. That's what he says.
Red Bull.
Right? That, now we're talking, right? That should
now
do the job. So that's what the according to Rav Avadya Yosef, Mila doesn't have. Now listen to this. Listen to this. But comes the Tzitz Eliezer. Tzitz Eliezer says, I will bring you a proof that Mila has to hurt. What's the proof? Listen to this. Look at Masech the Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed. In the back of Masech the Shabbos, you have Hagois from Rabbi Eliyahu Gutmacher. And on Daf Kuf Lamed, Rabbi Eliyahu Gutmacher makes the following comment. He says that at the time that the baby cries by the Mila, so think about that cry. Here's the cry of a baby. He has no averos, no klipos, as he says. It's a pure cry. What should a Jew do when he hears the baby cry? He should pray to God for his own needs, whatever he needs, so that his cry and the cry of the baby should join up together and go straight up to Shemayim. And this he quotes in the name of the Eilalei Sephraim. Eilalei Sephraim was a Kli Yakar. So says the Tzitz Eliezer, what do we see from here? We see from here that the Tzura of Mila is, it hurts. Because if it didn't hurt, the baby wouldn't be crying. Right? The baby is screaming his head off because it hurts. So we see from here the traditional way that Mila is done is, it hurts. And that's the conclusion of the Tzitz Eliezer. Rav Avadya Yosef says, no, there's no basis that Mila has to hurt. Rav Avadya Yosef says, look, we have no documented evidence in the Gemara that Mila has to hurt. So you want to come along and say, well, isn't that the way it was always done? So Rav Avadya says, who is the burden of proof on? The one who wants to prove it should hurt, or the one who wants to say it doesn't have to hurt? If you want to say it has to hurt, the burden of proof is on you. Right? Yeah. If you're, some poskim say it should hurt. Some poskim say it doesn't have to hurt. If you want to say Mila has to hurt, the onus is on you to prove conclusively that there's a source Mila has to hurt. You can't just base it on, you know, on Kabbalistic reasons or on traditional reasons. That's not enough of a basis to inflict pain on someone.
Yeah, but the question
if you want to say, you know, should we continue the minhag or not? So we'll continue to do it, even though we don't have a basis. But just to continue a minhag of pain without conclusive evidence, that's not enough of a proof.
Yeah, but the mitzvah is not if it's mitzvah hurt or not. It's to do the brit or not. This is the mitzvah.
Okay, yeah, but the question is pain a essential added ingredient?
Yeah, I don't agree, but it's not a mitzvah.
No, but the question is, the other person, I'm not going to say it's a mitzvah, but they would say the mila is missing something. Okay. It's brought down that Rav Yashiv also was not for local anesthesia, and Rav Shlomo Zalman was not for local anesthesia. However, that may not be the case. In the Nishmas Avram, you have here an English translation that Dr. Abraham, S. Abraham, spoke to Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no reason not to use anesthesia. But Rav Shlomo Zalman said, look, I'm a Paisik, I'm not a Mekubal. You need to find out, are there any Kabbalistic reasons why Mila has to hurt? So he sent them, he said, go find out from the Mekubalim. Who'd they go to? Rav Yaakov Hillel. Listen to this. And they said, Rav Yaakov Hillel, based on your knowledge of Zohar, Tikkuni Zohar, right, the Yidra, is there any basis that Mila has to hurt? He says, no. It doesn't say anywhere Mila has to hurt. In fact, I'll prove to you from Kabbalah, it doesn't have to hurt. What's the proof? Because we know, why does childbirth hurt? Right? Woman has a child. The Torah says it hurts. It didn't always hurt. Why does it hurt? It's a punishment. What is it a punishment for? The original sin, the Eitz Hadas. Says Rav Yaakov Hillel. So here the Torah is saying that childbirth is supposed to hurt. Why? It's a takana for the Eitz Hadas. Did anyone ever hear any Paisik or Mekubal tell any woman, you know, don't use the epidural, don't use any pain medication when you have a child, because you need to rectify the sin of Chava. You ever heard anybody say that? No. Says Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, despite the fact that the pain of the woman in childbirth is a rectification for Chava, we say leave the poor lady alone. If she's trying to get some, you know, to relieve herself, alleviate her pain, you got to do what you got to do. So he says, Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, if where the Torah itself says it's supposed to hurt, we have no problem alleviating the pain, then for something that we have no basis for, then certainly you're allowed to use that anesthesia.
Where does he get the relation of Orbach if he said that they don't do it?
I don't know. That's what they told him. So Rabbi Yisai, listen to this. Comes of Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, listen to this twist. Okay, the last twist. Says of Moshe Feinstein, I heard that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach said that the reason why we don't use anesthesia by a bris is because since 2,000 years ago they didn't use it, so we like things to remain the same. Just like this man has said, we may have better ways to do mitzitza than bepeh. We may have a sponge that may work better, but that's not how they did it, so we continue to do it this way. Says Rav Moshe, no, he's making a mistake. That's not why we use anesthesia. You know why we don't use anesthesia? Because it's dangerous. Because it could kill you. General anesthesia, what does the doctor make you do? Sign your life away. Right before the anesthesia. Well, wait a second. Before you take that, just write down that you don't mind if you actually don't wake up. Right? That's what they tell you to do. And not only general anesthesia, even when you take sleeping gas, you got to sign away your life. And even when you take local anesthesia, you got to sign the papers. So Zemesha, why? What are they worried about? They're worried that you're going to drop dead from the anesthesia. Oh, they're worried about that? That's why you're not allowed to do it on the child. Because you're not allowed to inflict, you're not allowed to put the child in danger. So why do adults do it? That's their decision to make, that it's worthwhile for them not to be in pain and to put their life on the line. But for a child, you have to do what's in the best interest of the health of the child. So the reason we don't use anesthesia, says Rav Moshe, is not for halachic reasons, it's not for kabbalistic reasons, it's for health reasons. So at the end of the day, most poskim are not in favor of using even local anesthesia. And even Rav Moshe doesn't have a problem with it. He says it's not a good idea for health reasons. So traditionally, at a traditional bris milah, like the Eretz Tzvi says, we do it ba'oifen hayoy sertel, we do it in the best possible way. But in extenuating circumstances, there is halachic basis to be able to use ways and means to minimize the pain. Have a wonderful evening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.